Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of
Talk of Champions. I am Billy Embody. With me, Ben Garrett, who is in the Riverland Roofing Studio. What's going on, my friend?
The Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com. Our friends at Riverland Roofing power everything we do here at Talk of Champions and at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. I call it the New Albany branch because we've got a studio built out off the square, just off the square in Oxford, that is now the Riverland Roofing Studios. And last week we gamed with Raymond Collins, working on lining up another player for this week to game with the second game for Ole Miss football next season. They'd play as Ole Miss, I'd play as the opponent, probably get my tail beat once more. But the players have all been dismissed or allowed to have a break for this week before they all come back for July and the ramp up to the season. So this is a week off for a lot of them, or all of them, and a lot of them have chosen to go out of town. So right now, trying to find somebody, don't know quite yet, maybe Dylan Alfred. I got a text out to Xavier Harris. We'll see what happens. But yeah, man, Riverland Roofing is doing so much for not only us, but Ole Miss in the NIL space, and we certainly appreciate them.
Yeah, Dylan Alfred just hosted Jamison Powell, and they spent some time together, and he's been very, very active with the recruiting side of things for Ole Miss. So this is a guy that, you know, I would pay attention to. He's got leadership down. He's got all those things down, and Ole Miss is leaning on him heavily, and they are really going after a lot of high-end targets for this end of this recruiting cycle as June comes to a close and it is decision-making time. And we're going to hit on baseball, we're going to hit on football, because this is that time of year where both the baseball roster for next year is being built, but then football is getting ready to kind of lock down the last few remaining targets or get decisions in from those targets over the next, you know, several weeks and into August, really. And so I would just say my overall theme, you know, on the message board has probably been a little bit of, hey guys, patience, because these kids like to do, you know, their own big announcements. They want to have their family together. And the ones that do the big announcements and the whole song and dance and everything like that, I would say those are the ones that you should feel very good about being locked in. The ones that maybe just kind of on a whim at times might throw out a commitment graphic, those are the ones that you might have to battle for the rest of the time. But these ones that are now setting these decision dates that are, you know, middle of July for Ant Davis, for example, or middle of July for NASCAR McCoy, and then early August for Ant Davis, four-star linebacker out of Grayson. You know, those are ones where most people are going to be saying, okay, all right, it's going to be a big event. You know, this is it. This is the formal close of the recruitment. And then we'll kind of see where the dust settles. And right now, there's a lot of posturing going on because elite Mississippi defensive lineman Nolan Wilson is down to Ole Miss, Alabama, Miami, and Auburn. I would say it's an Ole Miss-Alabama battle. I just don't think Miami has given him enough to think about, but this is one that he has at least publicly said the Tide have a slight lead, but this is probably the biggest priority on the defensive side of the ball for Pete Golding and this staff. And, you, I mean, you had a story on it on his official visit weekend, Ben. I mean, this is a guy they've got to have.
Yeah, this is one that Randall Joyner absolutely loves, man. I mean, he is probably a top, well, certainly atop the wish list for Randall Joyner, Ole Miss defensive line coach, but certainly near the top as far as overall wants for Ole Miss in this recruiting cycle. Nolan Wilson's the real deal, and Ole Miss has had him in to campus and had him in for an official visit. They went on a lake day, had the whole setup with some ATVs and the entire defensive line. Outside, I think, just of Cam Franklin, were there to show support and to kind of try to recruit him into the fold. I think you kind of nailed it there. It's Ole Miss or Alabama. I'm not quite ready to say Ole Miss is the team to beat right now, but I certainly think things are trending in the right direction for Ole Miss with Nolan Wilson specifically, because Ole Miss is prioritizing him in such a way and is doing everything, moving heaven and earth to try to secure him, because they believe he's probably the best in-state defensive lineman since Cam Franklin came out of Lake Cormorant. So they really like him. They think he can step in and play immediately. They want to lock him up. Ant Davis, like you said, has got a commitment coming up. J.C. Anderson, tight end out of Illinois. We're hearing at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of Ole 3, sign up for $1 today. We're hearing that J.C. Anderson is on commitment watch for Ole Miss. He's also considered Notre Dame, the in-state Illini, Auburn. I mean, there's a lot of big ticket names that are poised to make decisions sooner rather than later, and Ole Miss is certainly in the thick of it. And Nolan Wilson, J.C. Anderson, those are the ones, Ant Davis, like you mentioned, those are the ones we're really watching right now and have the makings of really building out a class that's going to push for the top, certainly the top 15, if not the top 10, if they land everyone they expect to land. But there's a long way to go between now and signing day. I do agree that typically the ones that make their commitments and do their full-on press conferences are more locked in than others, but I would still say Emmanuel Tucker's not done. I would still say Tristan Key certainly isn't done either. I mean, there are certainly a lot of guys out there for Ole Miss that they're recruiting hard and do not believe that they're in any way out of the game with, or recruitments have particularly been shut down. So those are the ones we're watching primarily. Nolan Wilson's certainly atop that list, but J.C. Anderson's right there too, and we'll see how things kind of fall the way for Ole Miss one way or another in the coming weeks, but it should be quite a busy time.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, there's a couple of decisions I think that are coming this week. One in particular that we're kind of in a holding pattern, I would say, for is Tyreek Jemison, the offensive lineman from the state of Georgia. And this is one that, man, Ole Miss has led this recruitment pretty much the last 2 months. And Tyreek and I have talked a lot, and he's been pretty upfront with me about where things stand. And right now, it is Ole Miss and Kentucky just throwing haymakers, trying to get this one across the finish line. His last official visit did go to Kentucky. They were his first offer, or first big offer at the very least. So that is something to keep an eye on there. But, you know, Tyreek's taken probably, I think he ended up taking about 7 official visits. And so that can kind of paint a little bit of a picture as far as just how many trips and different experiences. And Ole Miss got him on campus that first weekend of June. And since then, you know, he's taken a bunch of different trips, and sometimes that can work against you. Like if I think at this point, you know, Tyreek, if he would have had Ole Miss as, or any other school really in his true top group as a top visit, that's probably the school now. I mean, knowing what we know, that would have gotten him. And so Ole Miss has a lot of work to do. He plans to announce on Friday. I don't know if he's going to change that or move that back as these schools kind of battle it out. But the good news is, on the opposite side of that, Ole Miss appears to have made a big move with Ed Baker, the St. Francis Academy offensive lineman out of Baltimore, who has teammates P.J. Wilkins, or former teammates P.J. Wilkins and Deshaun Womack, on the roster now. And he made his first ever trip to Oxford this past weekend. And it seems like Ole Miss has made a move from what he told me he was going to announce on Wednesday. And Tennessee had kind of been the long standing leader in this one. But now it looks like he's going to, you know, move things and potentially pick a different timeline and think about things a little bit more. So this is another one where Ole Miss has kind of come on late here. They extended an offer. He bumped his Penn State official visit. He wants to be in the SEC, from what he told me at least. And now Ole Miss has a chance where they've got to close and they've got to capitalize on the momentum that they have in this recruitment. And if they can do that, it would certainly lessen the sting of potentially missing out on Tyrique Jemison. I mean, I'm intrigued to see if the visit high kind of wears off for Tyrique when it comes to Kentucky, and if Ole Miss can kind of settle back into where it's been for a while, which has been sitting atop that recruitment. And then the wild card here, as far as timelines, is Kamari Blair, the four-star offensive lineman from Tennessee. I think this is one that Ole Miss maybe isn't being talked about enough. There was kind of a thought that Tennessee had secured the last official visit. Tennessee had offered late, and there was some thought that, okay, all right, he's an in-state kid for the Vols. That is a pretty bad sign for everybody. But I was told his family did not accompany him on that trip. So maybe that is a door being opened there for Ole Miss, because these guys on the offensive line that they're targeting, they've got to come away with two at least. And you know, Emmanuel Tucker, like you said, Ben, is committed to LSU. They're going to still work that one. Bryson Cooley is somebody that they haven't really necessarily pressed for as like a top-tier target in state. But with Dalton Toothman committing to state yesterday evening, you've got to find an offensive tackle, and you've got to find another versatile piece that could probably play like four of the five positions, play some tackle, play some guard. So if they can come away with Ed Baker, Kamari Blair, and then you already have Ryan Moret committed, that would lessen the blow. It wouldn't be, you know, four or five offensive linemen, but it'd be a really good bunch of prospects that they'd be, you know, in good shape for if you can get them across the finish line in recruiting.
At the end of the day, none of these offensive linemen are going to come in and push to start immediately. I'm not saying that none of them will get into rotations or won't be starting by the end of their freshman years. That could certainly happen, but at Ole Miss, that's proven to be a pretty spotty track record if any players have been able to pull that off in 6 years under Lane Kiffin. So when you're looking at how they're building out the high school class for offensive linemen specifically, it's about getting high upside, you know, players that they really are excited about and believe they can develop into something. And that's what you're kind of seeing with guys like Ed Baker, who comes from St. Francis, has been good to Ole Miss ever since Lane was here. Wayne Dorsey, former Ole Miss defensive end, was coaching there not too long ago. He's now an assistant at Auburn. But like you said, Ole Miss was in it for Deshaun Womack before he went to LSU, kind of helped with the transfer that ended up landing Deshaun Womack at Ole Miss this offseason because of that pre-existing relationship. Damon Clowney came from St. Francis. So Ed Baker's one we're certainly watching. But again, with all of these offensive linemen, specifically out of high school, for any targets that Ole Miss is going after, I think there's a little bit of a pause. Is just, you got to get guys that you believe in, developmental guys that you've scouted and really like a lot, to get in here and get to work. But none of these guys are going to necessarily impact winning in a meaningful way in 2026, and that includes Emmanuel Tucker. So remember that whenever a player commits to so-and-so, or this is happening, maybe the price point isn't where Ole Miss believes it needs to be right now or something of that nature. There are a lot of many other considerations outside of just where do you want to go, kid, these days in recruiting. And you're seeing Ole Miss cast a wide net for offensive linemen because they know, like you said, they have to get bodies, they have to get guys in, and they actually have to have some proof of concept, because that's one area where they've been lacking, certainly in the last handful of years under Lane Kiffin, because of, I mean, look at Preston Cushman. He's not here anymore. Look at Cam East, other players that were in similar recruiting archetypes and builds to the players we're talking about here that never became starters at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss has been obviously transfer heavy everywhere, but the offensive line, you just haven't seen those homegrown talents. So this is a really important class in particular for offensive linemen and Ole Miss's development of these offensive linemen, because they have to kind of turn the worm a little bit and figure out what hasn't been working and how they can show other big recruits out there that this is a place where you can come and get developed. And yeah, you might have to sit for a year or two, but you're going to start. So there's a lot that is going into this in particular, or specifically, I should say, offensive line recruiting. But Ole Miss isn't necessarily ahead of schedule, behind schedule. They just got to start getting some movement now, because some of their favorite options like an Emmanuel Tucker have kind of fallen off the board, or they're playing catch up with a lot of those guys, and they've got one committed, but they need more. They need a lot more, and it's not just two. I mean, they ideally would love to add five offensive linemen, but it's just hard in this new day and age to get that kind of number. But Ole Miss is swinging big, and I don't think they're anywhere close to having filled out what their ultimate offensive line class is going to look like.
Yeah, and the thing about, I would say, mostly Mississippi recruiting is I think it's one of those states that it's just safe to assume that things aren't over until, or really even started heating up for some prospects until November, December. And that's, I don't think that's ever going to change for the most part. And so they have opportunities ahead where they can bring in guys for visits, get them back on campus, kind of work that, you know, like we saw with Caleb Cunningham. And they're going to do that with Tristan Keys at some point in the fall, you got to imagine. But you also have, I think, and we're spending a lot of time on offense, and you know, we talked a little bit about Nolan off the top, but the receiver position is another one that they've got a chance to capitalize on this time of year, and you know, also this recruiting class, because you've got Xavier McDonald, an elite wide receiver. You've got Jace Matthews, an elite wide receiver. You've got Tristan Keys, an elite wide receiver in state. But one player that we're not talking enough about, apparently, from what my sources are saying, is Auburn commit Denarius Gray, who took his last official visit of the summer to Ole Miss. And it sounds like Georgia McDonald and Kevin Smith and, you know, the group at Ole Miss did a really good job on this one. And Auburn, and remember, earlier in the cycle, and it could still end up being, you know, a thorn in Ole Miss aside, but Auburn and Ole Miss are locked in, you know, quite a few recruiting battles. And at the same time, Auburn is second to last in the SEC in recruiting classes right now. And they're seeing top targets go elsewhere, left and right. Like, it is not a good time on the plains. And if they lose a Denarius Gray, who's been committed since January of 2024, which early commitments, you know, you can make the argument are always tough to hang on to, but you know, there are still bright spots for Ole Miss, which is sitting at ninth, I think, in the SEC, but still sitting with a top 25 class. So they're trying to get Denarius Gray across the finish line. If you get him, then you have him, Jameson Powell, and Corey Barber, and then you can find out, okay, let's get Xavier McDonald in the boat and then find a way to get one of Jace Matthews and or Tristan Keys on board. So the wide receiver room seems like it's in a little bit better spot than I think we might think, just because we're very focused on Mississippi talent in this class too.
Ole Miss, while offensive line recruiting has been very hit or miss, they're never going to not sign elite wide receivers. Even if they were to not get anyone else, Corey Barber, for example, is a player that is every bit the recruit that Braylon Sanders was, is every bit the recruit that name a guy, Vince Sanders was. I mean, these are four-star, high-end players. Gray's another good example of this, committed to Auburn. Ole Miss is going to get elite receivers. I think Xavier McDonald's going to end up being an Ole Miss Rebel. I think Jace Matthews, I'm pretty bullish on, is going to end up being an Ole Miss Rebel. The wild card is Tristan Keys, because in national you know, reporting and what have you, Ole Miss isn't particularly mentioned all that much, but we go by the visits, we go by what our sources are telling us, and Ole Miss is all in on Tristan Keys and is not going to give up until he signs somewhere. But I think it's the complete opposite of offensive line recruiting. They do have proof of concept with wide receivers. They do. I mean, Caden Lee came in and made an impact immediately as a freshman. If Dylan Alford or someone else makes an impact this year, you'll have more of it. But wide receiver is a position to where, yes, they could miss out on one or every one of Xavier McDonald, Jace Matthews, and Tristan Keys, but they're still going to sign elite talent wide receiver. Offensive line, it's more of a struggle. It's more of a, what can you come up with? Who are guys in forecasting for the future 2-3 years down the road? Whereas wide receivers, you kind of know what you got after 2 years. I mean, you saw this with Aiden Williams, who's now a Mississippi State Bulldog, right? I mean, this is he was the number two recruit in Mississippi behind only Santarian Perkins, coming out of high school, 4-star, a borderline 5-star, and he just didn't have the mental makeup or wasn't able to get on the field despite some nice showings in preseason camp and stuff of that nature. So I'm not worried about the wide receiver end. I am concerned about just what it would mean to not get one or all of these in-state wide receivers because Ole Miss has put so much legwork and work into landing them. And Tristan Keys is the one that I'm just going to always be fascinated by because the national narrative compared to the local narrative is much different. And obviously that's going to be reconciled in some way, one way or another between now and signing day in December. But Ole Miss believes it is very much a factor for him and certainly believes it's in a leading position, if not the leader straight up, for one or both of Xavier McDonald and Jace Matthews. It's going to be fascinating to watch how that falls. If they can hit on all of them, they obviously would love to do that. I mean, they would love to have all three of them. Seems pretty unrealistic just if you've been around recruiting like we have for so long, you know, 20 years in this business, typically going 3 for 3 with elite guys like that is very, very hard to do. But regardless if they don't or not, there's also the portal component. Tristan Keys is not a guy that's necessarily going to get into the portal because he's going to be out in 3 years. I mean, this is Jamar Chase, right? Jace Matthews is similar to that. I think Jace Matthews has the potential to be a 3-and-done guy. Xavier McDonald is a little bit more of a developmental player. But I think that Ole Miss is right where it needs to be with wide receiver recruiting. Need more from offensive line recruiting. Need to see some results outside of just the one commitment that they have so far. Because where in wide receivers, you say, well, this is happening on the ground, and it bears out that way, even if national media aren't talking about it in a certain way. Offensive line recruiting, I mean, I still think they're in for Emmanuel Tucker, but the proof is in the pudding. He's committed to LSU. He's committed to Mississippi State. He took a Realtree hat and threw it off his table, Ole Miss Realtree hat, and threw it off his table when he made his commitment. It's a little bit of a different conversation. So as far as confidence level, I'm not worried about what they're going to get done at wide receiver. I know they're going to get done. They're going to get elite players. Offensive line, that's my one area this recruiting cycle that I'm like, let's see what you got, because you just haven't had that same kind of return that you've had at wide receiver and other positions as well. I think secondary is a good example. Defensive line is a good example. But the offensive line, it is the complete opposite of wide receivers, because you're just going to hear big name after big name after big name at wide receiver, knowing that Ole Miss is going to be a contender for whoever it wants to. While offensive line is more of a build it up from the ground up. And that's kind of the fascinating dichotomy of what Ole Miss's recruiting is like in 2025-26.
Yeah, Tristan Keys, Jace Matthews could be that franchise-type player. And, of course, we want to remind you guys about our friends Andy Ludicky of MyPerfectFranchise.net. Give him a call, 404-973-9901, or email him, Andy, A-N-D-Y, at MyPerfectFranchise.net. He and his team can walk you through the franchise ownership process, what maybe the best franchise fits are for you and your family, your monetary opportunity, and your time to commit to franchise ownership. They can walk you through all of that. And if you end up using Andy Ludicky, who is free to chat with about the franchise model and the franchise world, he will donate money to the Grove Collective. So his wife went to Ole Miss. He's got some Ole Miss ties and wants to find a way to support if you guys do some business. It's not a reason to, shell out that coin for that type of business, but it's a nice little perk at the end of it to celebrate, breaking away from the corporate rat race. So Ben, the chat has been a big part of going live, and we've really appreciated Javon Campbell and Dirty Bird always chiming in there. And let's end on the recruiting side of this with Javon's question. How do we keep Mississippi talent in state? Mm. And then we'll jump into baseball.
Fred Smoot asked me this exact same question on the Commanders podcast last week. And one thing we both kind of agreed on is it doesn't help anyone when Ole Miss and Mississippi State are going after each other constantly. But really, that's never been less important than it is now. I mean, Ole Miss is and Mississippi State's infighting doesn't really have any impact anymore, in my opinion, on in-state recruiting, because Ole Miss and Mississippi State aren't just viewed in that and through that lens anymore. So as far as keeping in-state in talent, number one is at the end of all things in this new culture, what's the money look like? Are you meeting the ask? Are you getting close enough? And Ole Miss has been front leading in the NIL space, but with this new world of rev share and some uncertainty, it's not the same perfect operational deal as it maybe has been, or maybe there's a few more hurdles you got to clear and things like that. But I'm not worried about Ole Miss as far as being in contention, unlike Mississippi State, just trying to stay afloat in in-state recruiting. They're really going to make their hay from the 11 to 30 as far as prospects, good prospects that you can build out a team with, especially with your depth. But if we're talking about high-end prospects and keeping them in state, number one, continue to grow your national brand if you're Ole Miss. Get in the college football playoff. That stuff does matter because LSU is got that history attached to it, and you haven't, if you're Ole Miss, had much of a presence at all on the coast outside of the actual Coates, Biloxi, and that area. Hattiesburg, where Tristan Keyes is, Ole Miss is barely a blip on the radar. LSU is a far more threat for those kind of prospects, those area prospects in Mississippi, because of proximity and just what they've grown up around. I mean, Tristan Keyes, even though he was born and raised in Mississippi, was in Hattiesburg. He wasn't born and raised listening to Ole Miss stuff all day, every day on the radio, or seeing it on TV, or seeing it on podcast on the internet, whatever he might consume his media, right? I mean, he's just as much inundated with where he is by LSU stuff, Southern Miss to a much, much lesser degree. And even, you know, the Alabamas of the world who are closer to in vicinity to certain in-state prospects than even Ole Miss is. So how do you keep them in state? Continue to be a national brand. Continue to build out that national brand. Stop concerning yourself with the peanuts of peasants. Whether Mississippi State is involved or not is immaterial. At this point, it's about being the best operationally you can be and showing yourself to be a contemporary with the Auburns, and you have with the Auburns, but with the LSUs and the Alabamas and the Georgias. And while Ole Miss has floated in those waters, swam in those waters, I think has the third best record in the SEC since Lane was hired, behind only Georgia and Alabama, there still is a lack of results in terms of being more than just, you know, what you say you are. I mean, 9 wins is great in the regular season, but getting to the college football playoff, expanding that brand, having more of a reach in the southern region of the state. And, you know, it's going to come down to, again, at the end of all things, the money has to make sense. And Ole Miss for Tristan Keyes at this point in its process in the NIL era perhaps has to pay more than other schools have to, or have to really give an offer that they can't, that the player can't refuse. But that's not really Ole Miss's style either. Ole Miss believes in it does what it says it's going to do. It's going to pay you what it says it's going to pay you, which is a real benefit because a lot of schools aren't like that. And I think you could see that with players committed to LSU, players certainly committed to Auburn. I mean, there's one school amongst all of these and consistently kept Ole Miss in the conversation, and that is Ole Miss does what it says it's going to do. But now can you grow that out and say, not only do they say what they're going to do, but they are winning at this clip. The Gator Bowl is just not the same as the college football playoff. And I think that does make an impact, especially for short year guys, like 3 year and out guys like Tristan Keyes. It's more of a truncated timeline to where, you can still talk in the theoretical. They have to see results. These short-term guys have to see results. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. The money, Ole Miss is always going to be competitive in the money space. It's been front leading in the NIL space, but really growing your footprint through, winning at the highest level. And really too, I mean, Aiden Williams not working out, that stuff matters in state. That matters. I mean, Aiden Williams not working out here is a problem for Ole Miss. You know, like they have to go and recruit in-state kids in a different way because they have signed the in-state's best and still haven't done anything much with them. Santarian Perkins is a superstar. Cam Franklin's going to be a stud. William Echols is going to be an absolute stud. They love these players. We're talking about a wide receiver, right? Because what Ole Miss is, at least under Lane Kiffin, is there's only one returning wide receiver from last year, and that's Caden Lee. Great as he is, everybody else is transfers. Caleb Odom, Harrison Wallace, Dejon Stribling, Winston Watkins is a true freshman. Can you get Winston Watkins to be good as a true freshman? He looked really good in spring. Caleb Cunningham is such an important recruit for Lane Kiffin's tenure at Ole Miss. Caleb Cunningham was the number one player in the state. Everybody wanted him this time last year, was committed to Alabama, had shut down his recruitment. That's why I say people reading about Tristan Keyes or Emmanuel Tucker, whoever it might be right now in the state, Caleb Cunningham was committed and shut down to Alabama this time last year. There's a long time between now and December, and the recruitment never stops. It's a day after day after day deal. So I don't care where anybody's committed, what the noise of June may bring. Ole Miss, when it says it's in it for somebody, it is. But with one position in particular, wide receiver, for high school kids in state, you have to show a little bit more than you have so far. So that's a long roundabout way of saying keep expanding the brand, winning at a higher clip, even more so than last year, getting into the playoff, beating those contemporaries that you're contending with, showing that you are here to stay because you are. But there still isn't that winning on the highest level component that I think Ole Miss needs to match everything it's saying, because you see a lot of good, but for in-state kids that have been raised and believed to believe that it's better, the grass is greener elsewhere than in state, where it's always starting from behind. That's a pretty tough hill to climb. So that's a very loaded question. It's a hard question, but it starts obviously with the money. But secondly, Ole Miss, out of all the in-state schools, is actually doing the part to where it could expand its in-state brand, specifically based off of winning at the highest level. There are benefits and negatives to being literally an hour away from the Tennessee state line. That means down south of Mississippi, it's a little bit of a harder pull for players, because they're essentially driving much further than they would to Alabama, that they would to LSU. Those are just as close to in-state, if not more so, than Ole Miss. It's a much deeper issue, and a lot of it has to do with the lack of success by both in-state schools for years on years on years consistently. Now Ole Miss is doing that and recruiting at a different level, but it's still not where it needs to be yet. Just keep going. And Ole Miss fans, keep giving. Even when it's hard, even when you say, man, what is this getting me? I promise you, it's even your $20 given on a Wednesday is going a long way. And because Ole Miss has been able to recruit at a different level, if not necessarily get the results yet in state that they're looking for, but they're right on the precipice. Just keep pushing and keep winning and keep showing what you are now compared to years ago, and this will become the new normal. It's already close to the new normal, but I'm talking about a real new normal where it's just assumed that, yeah, Tristan Keyes is going to be considered Ole Miss and who else, right, moving forward, because Ole Miss is that much of a standard bearer as the in-state school. It is that, but not yet where it needs to be for Ole Miss to just assume its place with in-state kids like LSU does with Louisiana kids, or even Florida and Florida State with Florida kids.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow, so make sure you subscribe to the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, for just $1 for your first week. Jump on board with us. It is a big time of year. You're not going to want to miss it. And if you hit the front page of the Ole Miss Spirit and you're not a subscriber, we can't really publicly talk about it too much, but let's just say there's a great new perk about the website. So it'll hit you right in the face if you're not subscribed to the Ole Miss Spirit. So check us out, olemissspirit.com, for just $1. Ben, baseball recruiting.
Yep.
Not yet? You got one more?
No, I was just saying $1.
Oh, yeah.
But baseball recruiting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 transfers now. Last time we talked about baseball recruiting on this podcast, Ole Miss was on commitment watch for San Diego State pitcher Marco Cipolla, and he did commit on Sunday. So that reporting, kind of trying to let y'all know what's going on. That happened. He has committed. He is a part of things, but they've gone even heavier after the pitching side, which has been consistent with what we've been reporting here on Talk of Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. We've been talking about this at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, affiliate of Own 3, sign up for $1. They wanted, after Will Libert, the pitcher from Missouri, committed, and they had 4 commitments, including 2 pitchers, the other being Grant Richardson, wanted 2 to 4 more. Well, now they've gotten 3. Marco Cipolla, Owen Kelly, a pitcher from St. Louis, and Landon Koning, a pitcher from North Dakota State. All of these are candidates to pitch on the weekend. All could be potential weekend starters for Ole Miss. So I think Marco Cipolla is going to slide in on Sundays at worst. Kay Downsend is probably going to start on Saturday, but you've given yourself real options. And if Hunter Elliott isn't, if you're not able to bring him back, which is the goal, you're going into the draft trying to recruit Hunter Elliott back. But he's been trying to go pro for a while now, and this might be his best opportunity. If he stays for one more year, they'd have a statue built for him, really go for another national championship. What a story it would be. But I want Ole Miss fans, Bill, to really think about individually where Hunter Elliott is. If he waits another year, there is absolutely no leverage he's going to have in the draft. Wherever he goes is where he goes, and he signs and he goes. Now, he could still end up in a good situation. I mean, you've seen that with super seniors who have no leverage in negotiations and can just or have to just wait out and sign where they get drafted. But you know, it's certainly a consideration that Hunter, that this in the conversation for Hunter Elliott and potentially bringing him back, is that leverage piece and what it would mean to leave now or stay. The MLB draft for Hunter Elliott is one we're really going to be watching. I think Mason Morris is going to get drafted pretty high enough to sign and leave. Luke Hill, same thing. Judd Utermark, I think, is coming back. Will Furness, I think, is coming back. Hunter Elliott's the real wild card here. But if they don't bring him back, they've done a tremendous job of giving themselves real portal options. The problem is it's not a guarantee that all these guys get on campus either. I mean, Grant Richardson, Tristan Bassetti, the outfielder from Clemson, Daniel Pacelle, the outfielder from Illinois, Will Libert, the pitcher from Missouri, all of these guys are MLB draft risks. So there is a real risk involved with committing these players, knowing that you're going into July still having not truly finalized anything. While they've added 3, I said they wanted to add at least 2 to 4 more pitchers after Will Libert, and they've added 3. Depending on how the draft goes, you could still see them continue to add. I wouldn't be surprised if they added at least another pitcher. I know they want at least another infielder. They're not going to turn away good players, period. But remember that too. These names that you're seeing, the MLB draft is going to be so incredibly important, not just for Hunter Elliott, not just for Judd Utermark and Will Furness, but also a number of these transfers that you're counting on to fill out another contender for Ole Miss baseball next season. If it does hold with these 7, if all 7 make it to campus, which I think, if you ask me today, it's a lot more likely than not all 7 make them to campus rather than losing 1 or 2 to the draft. But, and if they do, Ole Miss is going to be right there in contention again. Grant Richardson has real projectability of a Liam Dole type. I know y'all don't want to hear his name, but Grant Richardson profiles in a lot of ways just like him. Tristan Bassetti is a middle of the order hitter. Yeah, he was banged up last year, but man, when he was healthy, his hard hit rate was about equal to Judd Utermark, who led Ole Miss in home runs last year. Daniel Pacelle would be arguably their most dangerous and high-level hitter next year if he does make it into this lineup. Will Libert could start on the weekend, and they're not done either. Juan Vargas, a transfer from Tennessee Tech, arrive for a visit on Sunday. He could be a closer for them. He was a mid-year stopper of the year in his conference. A lot going on with Ole Miss baseball, and after a slow start that had you a little bit concerned, I think Ole Miss is in a great, great place. Again, I have to worry about the draft, have to see how the draft falls, but with the names we see here and with the possibility of the foundation and core they're bringing back, Hayden Federico will be their center fielder, ideally. They love Ethan Surowiec, who's in the Northwoods League right now, and proven he could be a corner infielder for you. Huge, huge pop. Could play third or first base, which would put Will Furniss back at DH more primarily. You need about another catcher to go with Austin Fahley, but you're starting to see the makings again of another Ole Miss contender, with the caveat of got to watch the MLB draft, because the MLB draft is going to really be the determining factor over whether or not Ole Miss has done enough. But they haven't finished. They're not anywhere close. I said before the portal process started, 6 to 8 transfers. They're already at 7. I think at this point they'd push for 10, if not more than 10. I think they're just trying to cover all bases, but they've got a great starting point, unlike last year where they were building up from the ground up. They have a good foundation of core players coming back, of high upside second-year players. Like, even despite what happened with Owen Pano last year, Owen Pano is beloved as a prospect, not just by Ole Miss. I mean, what he can be. Like, it's the same thing as Greg Kessinger and Thomas Dillard. Unfortunately, he had the same kind of freshman disaster year. But Owen Pano needs to be your starting shortstop, because he is a superstar in the making if he can ever tap into that superstar potential. They're not building from the ground up, and they're filling in the margins with elite, high-level, high-caliber players. Makes you think that Ole Miss – the last 2 years were the outliers, and what they learned from those 2 years and put into practice last year to win 43 games and host for the first time since 2021, seems like they've really learned those lessons.
Ben, let me ask you this. Who out of the returning players, or and I guess this should be able to be answered since this player, you know, wouldn't be going to the draft or, you know, transfer risk for the most part. Who's the guy or two that has to step up? Maybe one pitcher or one, you know, fielder that has to step up for, like, not only Ole Miss, but in their overall game, like, show that next, you know, stage of development for them to complement these transfers that they're bringing in with the, you know, internal development as well.
Well, on the pitching side, obviously you're going to start with Cade Townsend, but I would argue that Hunter Elliott, in terms of wins and losses, are more important. And you say, wait, Hunter, what are you talking about? Hunter won a national championship as a freshman. He's been the co-ace as long as he's healthy. Yes, as long as he's healthy. And this time last fall, when he was going through fall inter squads, his velo was in the low 80s. I mean, his fastball velocity just wasn't there. Fortunately, he came around, and he really started to look more and more like himself as the year wore on. That's the most he's pitched in years. Hunter Elliott still, he's not yet who Hunter was. Good as he was, he's not the Hunter we're used to seeing. And that's part of the pitch, too, with Ole Miss and trying to bring him back, is like, look how far you came in one more year under Joel Mangrum, which is better than anything, any kind of coaching or instruction you're going to get in a minor league system anywhere. No matter what the professional organization is, the individualized and personalized structure of Ole Miss under Joel Mangrum as your pitching coach, who is in the Cleveland Guardians organization, their minor league pitching coordinator, that carries more value and will really unlock who you've always been before the injury. That's part of the pitch. I think Hunter, the reason I say Hunter is not because it's obvious, it's because he is, in my opinion, a 3 or 4 win difference for Ole Miss to where the others aren't. Cade Townsend is projectable, like as far as projectability, a high-end arm for the draft, what he could be, what he's going to be potentially down the line. But if you're thinking about just Ole Miss winning in 2026, yes, Cade Townsend is a big part of that. But if you got Hunter Elliott back, it just completely changes the calculus. Grant Richardson on Saturday, like what they dealt with in the regional that caused them to get in the loser's bracket and ultimately fall to Murray State despite playing a great regional. They actually played really well, but Murray State played better. What set them back, they tried to play the strategy, which was the correct strategy of don't start Hunter on Friday, because if you can get to 2-0, essentially it's almost impossible to not get out of the regional starting 2-0, because every other team's got to beat you twice. And the strategy, while sound, Riley Maddox just wasn't that number two that could take that responsibility and put you off on a good start. Grant Richardson could. Kay Townsend could. I mean, pick any of these guys. Cipolla from San Diego State. Libert from Missouri. Pick your guy. Whoever emerges, you've given yourself a depth of options, but it requires having that stabilizing horse on Friday nights, which is Hunter Elliott. So I think Hunter is the obvious answer to the pitching piece. from a position player standpoint, it's two guys. It's Owen Pano and Ethan Cerwick. Owen Pano needs to be the guy. I would say Ethan Cerwick just because of how good he's been in the summer, how much he improved over individual work. Because he was on the travel roster all last year because of the work he did at individual instruction, which you don't see as a fan, but it happens all during the week for guys who aren't playing. They're still getting their work in, and he developed and got better and got better, made himself a real option, got some DH starts last year, and he could start at third or at first base for Ole Miss potentially as early as next season if he continues to show the power stroke that he's developed and really tapped into over the last 6 months. I mean, he's carried it over into the summer. It's a very encouraging thing. But Owen Pano has to be the shortstop. Braden Randall's a great emergency option. Not great, but like as a defensive replacement, he's a great replacement option. Offensively, he's a little capped on what he can be. Owen Pano is still completely untapped potential. And I don't know if defensively he's got it yet. I don't know if offensively he's ready yet. But Ole Miss would be a different caliber of team if Owen Pano was every bit the player they thought he was when he was starting for them as a true freshman and had his hair dyed blonde as every great Ole Miss shortstop does. I mean, he had that good of a fall. He looked great, and then it just didn't come together in the season. If he can be that guy on a consistent basis as a shortstop, this whole team is completely made over. It's completely different as far as its contender ability. And also, on the backdrop to that, to Owen Pano being good, I was told straight up, pickings for shortstops in the portal, not great. Just haven't been great. It's been very hard for Ole Miss specifically. Now, there are some guys, but, Ole Miss, like I heard that very much, like the pickings are quite slim for shortstops. So if it's one fielder that, man, Ben, you got to have that guy step up that's not Judd, who obviously led Ole Miss in homers, or Will Furness, who was a slugging threat, or Hayden Federico, who had incredible stretches last year as a true freshman, it's Owen Pano. Hunter Elliott on the pitching side because of what he would mean in terms of the depth of options and spreading out your talent and building out a staff that would be deeper than last year's that won 43 games. Can Owen Pano be the starting shortstop? That's the one for me. That's the guy I'm watching. That's the guy that I'm paying most attention to. Ole Miss needs it out of him. And if those two come along, you're not just talking about 43 wins with all that they've done so far and if they do return the core and have that MLB draft luck, you're talking about, again, 40-plus wins, hosting a regional. They were only a win away from a super last year, hosting their first super since 2009. I think this team could be right there in the thick of it again, if not a little bit better on paper going into the year than this year's team, because there was a lot more to prove and they were building it from the ground up, whereas this year they haven't had to do that. But Owen Pano has to be good. He has to show up and be that starting shortstop that he just wasn't able to be this year as a true freshman.
Great stuff. You know this baseball team as well as anyone. What are your early feelings on the overall transfer portal haul, just as far as replacing what needed to be replaced? Maybe give it a grade in a way on what they've been able to do so far in the portal.
Solid B+. I mean, obviously you would love to see them go get the Western Kentucky slugger or something like that, or any of those Virginia guys who all seemingly went to Mississippi State, or Henry Ford, the first baseman who ends up going to Tennessee. I mean, obviously you would love to see some of those names pop for Ole Miss too, but in terms of what they need and what they're bringing back, Ole Miss has been smart with its money. It's been smart with its asset allocation, if you will. And I think Grant Richardson is a player that, like, again, could step in and start on the weekend immediately. Tristan Bassetti is starting at right field. Daniel Pacella starting in left field. And it makes sense when Hayden Federico is penciled in as your center fielder, which he is, you start to see the makeup of a real contender. Catching is Austin Fawley. First base ideally will not be Will Furness, because defensively he wasn't great. If it's Ethan Cerwick, if it's Judd Utermark, second base is a question. Braden Randall would be that guy right now. I know, again, they're looking for another middle infielder. Can you go get someone like the Louisville infielder who got into the portal this week? Let me see if I can get his name right. Virginia infielder Henry Godbout entered the portal this week. He hit .309 with 8 homers this season. But from Louisville, Murray State infielder Dom Decker has entered the portal. He hit .343 with 46 RBIs last season. And then there was another one that I just can't.
Bayram Hot.
Yes, Bayram Hot. Well done, sir. Louisville infielder Bayram Hot batted .326 with 22 RBI, 3 home runs in 2025, former standout at Marist. They need another infielder because, yes, you love Braden Randall and what he is as a depth piece and potentially as a step-in starter, but more of it, you need him as Owen Pano insurance. So getting a second baseman is, I think, the biggest remaining need. Third base will be Judd Utomar. Catcher will be Austin Foley. Like I said, I laid out the outfield. DH will be Will Furness. That's a salty team. And on the weekend, if you have Hunter Elliott, Grant Richardson, and pick any of the other guys, if it's Will Lebert, if it's Marco Cipolla, if it's either of the players that they've gotten the last couple of days, whoever's not starting is a bullpen option. And remember, Ole Miss didn't really have that kind of depth last year. If Mason Nichols, Hunter Elliott, and Riley Maddox didn't go seven, Will McClausen came in toward the end of the year. Mason Morse was really good all year, but really he fell off a little bit toward the end of the year. This is more depth, and I would give it a solid B+. You would want to see maybe some more high-end talent, but I think for what they've put together and what they are on paper right now, against the backdrop that the MLB draft, who knows what happens in a couple weeks. This is a good team. This is a 40-win team. This is a regional host of a team already, and they're not done either. Started slow, and it was concerning, and Ole Miss fans were like, what the heck is going on, which I don't blame you. But like we told you at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Affiliative on Three, as we've been leading the way and telling you what's going on in the portal and everything recruiting, it's the only place to be, the Ole Miss Spirit. Patience, and that patience has been rewarded with a team that on paper looks every bit as good, if not a little bit deeper, especially on the pitching side, than this team this year that won 43 games and was one run away from hosting the Super Regional for the first time since 2009. I'd give them a great grade. I'd say they're solid B+, but it's going to take a lot for them to get in that A range, only because I think they've done their major heavy lifting, and now it's about that one more guy, that one more piece or two, compared to, well, man, we got to get 3 to 4 pitchers. We got to get this. We got to get that. I mean, there was a time where they were replacing their entire starting outfield, all of their weekend rotation. I mean, that's where it was. Now it's not there anymore, but there's still work to be done. Great work. Started slow. I get why Ole Miss fans were like, what the hell's going on here? But now I think Ole Miss is not recovered, because there's nothing to recover from, but certainly has gotten to a place of real solid footing and foundation, both with the core pieces returning, the transfer supplementation that they've done, and also the summer league piece, because the summer league isn't how it used to be, Bill. It used to be where you send everybody out to the summer and let them play and get at bats in. Now Ole Miss is very selective with its players. Hayden Frederico has been playing center field in the Cape all summer, and that's an important thing. I mean, Hayden got as many at bats as anybody last year, but he's now their starting center fielder. That's what they want him to be. So I think that they've got an incredibly strong starting point of a contender. You don't know how roles will be defined, but with what we see on paper today, I like what they've done a lot, a whole lot, especially as they've really attacked the pitching market and come up with some real impressive finds. And remember, while I say, yeah, you'd like to see them land the WKU slugger, who everybody wanted, Daniel Pacello was wanted by everybody, LSU, Mississippi State, you name it. And Grant Richardson had crazy high major offers. These are not just, diamonds in the rough. Yeah. These are players that Ole Miss had to go compete for, but the market is crazy, and only a handful of teams can really pay, to go get these high caliber players in the portal. Ole Miss is one of them. Yeah. But, they've had to be smart and they've had to be judicious, and I think they've done a tremendous job with what they needed to get done to get to this place. It's not done yet. It's still a B+, and Bs aren't as good as A's, but I think they've done
it. Graduate.
Yeah, C's get degrees, and Bs make you look like an honor roll student. So, hey, keep rolling. I think Ole Miss, that one infielder is what I'm waiting for, that one more infielder. I don't know who that is. They hosted the LSU, I think it's Mikey something or other, Mikey Ryan. They hosted him last week. I mean, there's guys that they've talked to, but that's where they'll be selective. And with more portal options coming open, especially like the Murray State kid, who everyone saw how good he could be once he came to the Oxford Regional, and Murray State just kicked butt and took names. I think once that piece is finalized and figured out, we can make more of a grade on them, or give my overall grade. But I think even without it, it's solidly a B+. And again, it started in a rough spot. It started like, are y'all going to do anything? They've been working, and that hard work is now paid off.
It's the dog days of summer. So make sure you're at the Ole Miss Spirit with us, OleMissSpirit.com. Sign up for just $1. Ben, with it being the dog days of summer, what do you watch? Are you watching anything on TV? Are you reading now? Are you watching paint dry to get through the rest of the summer?
Here's what I'm doing to get through the summer. One, I've decided to finally write my book. All right, I'm going to write the book. So I've been like sitting down writing this book It's not any good. And I'll have to get, like, you know, Jeff Robertson or somebody else to kind of go over it. But I'm filling my time with, like, whenever I find, like, I do like to read, but, like, mostly, like, the Bible and Harry Potter. You know, it's pretty basic stuff for me. But Our Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV Plus, all right, with Jon Hamm. For anybody out there that is trying to strike, like, trying to fight the boredom monster, trying to fight the I have nothing going on monster, and don't want to sit down and try to write a book like an idiot. Our Friends and Neighbors, like, I don't watch TV like I used to. I can tell you my favorite show is The Wire. I never loved Breaking Bad, but, like, I've watched all of them.
Yeah,
I'm not like that anymore, but my wife wanted to watch this show, and I'll tell you, it's fun as hell. It's Our Friends and Neighbors with Jon Hamm on Apple TV Plus. It's like Breaking Bad with rich people, and it's fun. It's just fun. And instead of drugs, it's, you know, high-end watches and stuff. That's the first time anything's kind of like – the first time a TV show has kind of grabbed me. You know, Game of Thrones ruined TV for me because it was like the worst finished show ever.
Yes.
But, yeah, that one's kind of brought me back a little bit. Severance, I hear, is the best show around. I still haven't started it yet. Yeah. But you know what I'm really doing? This is the truth. What I'm really doing, I am, like, at the Ole Miss Spirit, we write more stories now than we do ever, it feels like, because, like, this is the dog days. You know what I mean? Yeah. And what, despite what you might think or what others might tell you about, well, the you know, Ole Miss coaches, they don't tell any information. I got news for you, friend. That's bullshit. We're sitting here come join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. Recruiting is happening. So while I'm trying to enjoy the dog days, as far as recruiting is concerned, it has never been hotter. And
working time for sure.
Despite what anybody says to you anywhere else, you can really get information if you actually work and put the work in. So me and Bill are doing it every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Philly Devon 3. But in that time when you're not reading about the next Ole Miss commit or baseball transfer, whatever it might be, Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV Plus, or we could start doing a Severance watch along, because that's my next watch. Because I told Emily after this one, we got to keep going because she enjoys the time together. You know, I'm a little fun, like, cuddle buddy when she gets to, like, you know, which I love.
You know, Shrek. You know, it's
Junior Shrek still got game. You know, he still got Riz. He knows what he got. He knows what he got to do. You know, so I'm just saying, I'll watch a TV show, and that one's actually been kind of fun. I tried Suits, and it's just, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, you got to let it develop a little bit. We watched The Waterfront. The Waterfront's actually kind of like, if anybody ever watched Bloodline, which I thought was one of the more messed up, in a way, kind of shows, kind of dark, but very, very good, and you never knew kind of how it was going to go, I felt. Waterfront's a little condensed version. And then the other thing, and this is, you know, a little bit more the wife's choice for sure, but Sirens was actually on Netflix, was actually, like, and again, condensed, I think, like, a 6 or 7 episode limited series, and we cruised through that in 2 days and we're like, awesome, great. Yeah. Now what do we do? And that's the problem.
I used to love binge watching shows, going to the movies, and like I went and saw Ballerina, the John Wick. I'm just like, it's fine. You know, it's like, it's fine. I don't know. The last time I was truly excited to go sit down and see a movie was Spider-Man No Way Home. And the last time I was really excited to watch a TV show, like, truly excited, couldn't wait, and sat down, was locked into my chair, it was Game of Thrones. And then that just became, when the bell showed up and Daenerys started burning down King's Landing, that's when I said, okay.
All right, cool. Thanks. I'm done now. Writing a random finish for this.
No, I'm done now. Oh, and John Snow's parentage doesn't matter anymore. Okay, I don't care anymore. So, like, it's been hard finding, like, getting back into that, because I remember how much fun that was for me, and I'm trying to get back into it. So if you, the Ole Miss fan, have any suggestions, give them to me. Because we only got 2 episodes left of Our Friends and Neighbors, and I'm going to Severance. I'm supposed to go to Severance next. But, like, if there's something I'm missing, let me know. You know, but I need it too, because I can't just, you know, constantly talk about and write about Ole Miss all day, every day, and not have any hobbies. But currently, that's all I got.
Awesome. Well, good stuff, man. Good seeing your face on Talk of Champions, this live edition. Appreciate Riverland Roofing for their support of our podcast and everything we do at Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss Spirit. Give them a call. Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for joining us, everybody. In the chat, Jerry Morris all chimed in. We appreciate you guys. We'll catch you later this week with another live edition of Talk of Champions.
God is good.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.